Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Did everybody know that this year was the last U.S. Open for the dictator of golf, the head of the USGA, the CEO of the USGA, Mike Davis? Did everybody know that? Of course you did. If you didn't, you certainly knew after watching the U.S. Open because it was the Mike Davis farewell tour. Oh my goodness. Are you kidding me? Seriously. I mean, they interview him on NBC. They, you know, gush over this. I mean, talk about gushing. Oh, everybody that worked with you over the years. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. Seriously. I have to admit, the last two, because, you know, I'm not a big fan of the USGA. I'm just, and mostly it's been because of Mike Davis, to be honest with you. And well, it's a couple of things. Mike Davis and all the things that he screwed up, and I got a long list, so I'll go into that. But also the fact that the USGA just can't seem to bring it upon themselves to give out free tickets to the military, first responders, and all of the people that do so many great things for all of us as Americans. Okay. That's really where my biggest problem is with them. But not just that, the fact that they have just always screwed up something at the US Open. Now, the last two US Opens were better. No doubt about that. I'll give them that. And that's probably because Mike Davis hasn't been as involved. Of course, remember he did say that if he screwed up again after screwing up Shinnecock, and then he screwed up, what was the next one where the golf course was all screwed up? And then they go back to Shinnecock, and then he screws it up again this last time, a couple years ago, you know, and you know, come up with all these excuses, you know, the humidity change, the weather change, the this, the that. Remember how burnt out the golf course? He got lucky, by the way, at Shinnecock the last time because it rained on Wednesday. But anyway, he said that would be it for him. And he did step a little aside. You know, a lot of people are crediting Jason Gore, who's the PGA, you know, former PGA Tour player. And Jason Gore's a good guy. He became a liaison with the USGA, and things got a lot better. And John Bodenheimer is I guess the guy that's now running the tournament. But they gave Mike Davis all the credit. Yeah, 31 years with the USGA. You know, you set up all these golf courses. You you know, did this, did that. Of course, Dan Hicks did point out that there've been a few things that didn't quite go right. But anyway, the whole thing just gushing over Mike. They did the special on him, the, you know, video tribute, the interview, the, like, geez Louise. I mean, seriously, you know, what kind of a CEO does that? I mean, give me an example of that. You know, I mean, I just, you know, that where they just make it like about themselves. Where does that happen? I mean, it's just unbelievable to me. Now, I will say this: the U.S. Open was good. It was a great leaderboard. I mean, when you come down on. You know, and I've said this a lot of times about the Masters. I said, this is why the Masters is so great. But when you come down on Sunday and you got nine holes to go and you got Bryson DeChambeau, you got Rory McIlroy, you got Brooks Koepka, you got John Rahm, you got Colin Morikawa, Louis Oosthuizen, Xander Schauffele. I mean, that's pretty strong. That's I give them credit for that. That's what I'm talking about. Now, you know, that's what it should, that should be the goal all the time. Not like we want them to shoot a certain score. I saw Mike Davis talking about how, oh yeah, we, you know, Saturday we want it to be moving day, so we set it up for moving day. You know, they like manipulating the whole thing. And trying to manipulate a certain score, trying to manipulate a certain situation. This is what they've done for years and years and years. Hopefully things will change with this this clown, this Mike Davis, moving on to bigger and brighter things and whatever. And, they're going in a new direction. But, I mean, I tell you what, I was watching this on TV, and I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, seriously? I mean, seriously, are you kidding me? And there was a few things that just flat got me. I mean, they just flat got me. First off, let's be honest about the record, okay? And I understand, you know, okay, maybe it's tough. Well, if it's so tough, how come Kerry Hague at the PGA of America, how come he never screws up any of the golf courses? How come Augusta National doesn't get screwed up? How come they don't screw up the Open Championship? Why is it always the USJ that gets screwed up? Why is it always the US Open that gets screwed up? If it's so hard, you know, we try to push the envelope and sometimes, you know, it goes a little too far. Why does that happen?
You're never going to get a pat on the shoulder if you get 71 out of 72 hole locations right. So just remember that. And that's been, you know, frankly, that's the challenge of the men's and women's U.S. Open, is that we set it up closer to the edge than any other event out there. So it's easier to cross over that edge and have things not quite go right to where well-executed shots aren't rewarded.
I at least like this year. The greens didn't turn all brown, you know. Of course, that's a little tougher to do with the marine layer, but they did put some water on the greens. And why does a green have to be brown to be a U.S. Open? Really? I mean, why is that something that they like so much? This was a better U.S. Open. You know, the winning score was reasonable. I like the fact that you made birdies. I like the fact that there were scores out there to be had. But, yes, there was also, you know, doubles and triples, and it was hard, and you had volatility in the scoring. And you know what? That's what you have like at Augusta. And what did you have? You had a leaderboard that was like you have at Augusta with all those great players that I named. That's the way it should be. That's what they should be shooting for. Not trying to get a certain score to win a tournament, but to get a great championship. That should be the goal. But it hasn't, it hasn't been that way with Mike Davis in charge. But, you know, the last couple of years have been better because I think this guy's kind of moved over. Now he's going to be gone, and they should be like, running home free. Hopefully they're going to give tickets to the military. That's going to be the big change I want to see happen now that this guy's gone. That's going to be my big thing. You know, I mean, come on, seriously. You know, for years they would like say, oh, you can, if you're in the military and you show your ID, we'll give you one ticket to the practice round. Like, really? I mean, I understand this is a COVID year. You could only have so many tickets out there, so many people out there. Why can't they make that change? That's a big beef I've got with them. Anyway, there was some stuff about this US Open that, you know, as for as many accolades as that, and I'll give them, I'll throw a couple of bouquets at them. I'll do that. But for as many as they were thrown at in this Mike Davis guy, oh my God, jeez. Well, let me bring you back to reality about this guy's record. You know, and the things like the, you know, they want to, they give him credit. I was reading this deal this is a Stu Francis, who's the USGA president. He says he's, you know, Mike Davis has done this. Mike Davis has done that. Mike Davis is, you know, he's helped us get all these great golf courses and lining up, assembled a strong leadership team and modernized the game. And they're talking about modernizing the rules. Modernize the rules? And they screwed up the anchoring rule. That's a big one. They screwed that up. You know, the guys are not, they got that arm lock. Somebody else is going to have to deal with that. He never really dealt with the golf ball situation and how far the ball is being hit, whether it's the ball, the club, or whatever. He never really dealt with that. You know, they give him credit for picking, you know, public golf courses. Well, I mean, Torrey Pines is great. Pebble Beach is great. Get that. But, I mean, that didn't work out so good at Chambers Bay, and they ruined the greens there. You know, they were playing on dirt. That was awful. Erin Hills didn't work out so good. I mean, that, you know, it's a nice place, but they set up the golf course terrible. That was a mistake. I mean, what did Koepka shoot there? Like 18 under at a U.S. Open? I mean, that was awful. I mean, let's tell it like it is here. You know, how many times you're gonna screw this thing up? I mean, you know what? Another one of my big things with that. How about all these rulings all the time? Like, you know, that I'm still irked at the whole Dustin Johnson thing when they penalized him at Oakmont, and, you know, he went out there and, you know, that was awful. I mean, you know, and he overcame it. You know, I gotta give him, you know, incredible credit for that. But, you know, just messing up this and messing up that. And how about the it's like one thing right after another. I mean, but how about the flyover at the end of the tournament here this week at the Torrey Pines at the U.S. Open, and when he gets up there to announce, okay, we're going to honor the, you know, city of San Diego or something with a flyover. I mean, like, what? And they waited 25. I mean, like, really? I mean, why wouldn't you just, that guy's such an idiot. I mean, why wouldn't you just go on with your talk, your written speech? Like, really, seriously, you're the CEO of a company. Like, CEO of a company. You've been the CEO for 31 years. And you have to write out, like, literally, write out on a piece of paper in front of you. And look at it. You have to have a note card. You got to read the notes of what you're going to say next after 31 years. I mean, that's pathetic. I mean, seriously, pathetic. I mean, first off, tell me somebody who's ever given a speech that was any good that used note cards. And by the way, how long are you talking for at a trophy presentation? Thank the city of San Diego. Thank the grounds crew at Torrey Pines. Thank all the volunteers. You know, how about thanking the people in your organization that have done all the work? Okay. You know, and that's it. What else is there to do? You know, you just congratulate John Rahm, give him his trophy. Let's hear him talk. We don't want to hear you talk. A waste of time. That's all it is. Waste of time. Anyway, there was a few things that just got me that I thought were just classic. I'm going to get into those next. Get your free instructional videos to improve your golf game at HaneyUniversity.com. Make sure you go there and do that whenever you get a chance. They are right there. All you got to do is register. HaneyUniversity.com. All right, so I talked about the flyover. That was a not good. I can't resist pointing out this stuff. You know, I was on Twitter. I saw about the. Did you? I don't know if you go. If you go on Twitter. One thing, follow me on Twitter, Hank Haney on Twitter. But on Twitter, I was looking through, and these guys were posting pictures of the beer lines. Seriously. How long have they been running a golf tournament? They know how many people are coming to the tournament. There's a formula that says if you've got 10,000 people attending your tournament, you're going to sell this many beers on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This is what you're going to do, okay? And how many tents do we need to sell those beers? The lines were like there was 100-something people, 200 people. I don't know how many people. Like, the line was so long. I don't even drink. I mean, but it would drive me nuts. I mean, what if you want a beer? They can't figure out how to put a how many beer tents they need. I'll tell you one other thing they can't figure out, because I went to U.S. Opens for years and years and years. Every U.S. Open I went to, every one, they never had enough portalettes. That's one of my favorite. They never had enough portalettes. How can you not figure out? I mean, isn't there, like, after all these years of doing it, like, okay, hey, you know, first off, how much money do they make at these tournaments? They make millions and millions of dollars. This subsidizes the whole USGA. How much does it cost to rent a portalette for a week? Seriously, what's a portalette rental for a week? I don't know. Was it $100, $200, whatever? You're renting a lot of them. It'd probably give you a discount. A couple hundred bucks. I don't know. $400. I don't know. What difference does it make? You're making millions and millions and millions of dollars on these on this tournament. You can't come up with a portalette count that's accurate? You can't come up with a beer count? A beer? How many beer tents do we need? You can't do that? You can't do that? You can't schedule a flyover and time it with your talk? You can't talk without a note card at a presentation speech? When you John Rahm won. What, do you got to remind yourself of that on a note card? Thank the golf course? You got to remind yourself to thank the golf course? I mean, you can't remember that? Jeez. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Just absolutely incredible. Just absolutely incredible. All right. Get your Voodoo Pain Relief Cream and at voodoopainrelief.com for aches and pains, arthritis, back, hip, knee, elbow, whatever it is, sore muscles, voodoopainrelief.com is where you get your free 2-week supply right there. All right, I got more on my list. I got some really good stuff to talk about here that I haven't got to yet. Well, I'm on the USGA right now, and the goodbye to the Mike Davis, the dictator of golf. Oh, my God. Good to see him go. You know what? When I was talking about making something about you, did you catch what this guy did, this Mike Davis, the dictator of golf, who's retiring from the USGA after 31 years? First off, he did all these interviews, you know, and everybody, you know, telling him how great he is. Okay. Then they got the Stu Francis, the president of the USGA, gets up there and he's got a, you know, John Rahm just won the US Open. I don't want to hear in a trophy presentation about Mike Davis retiring and how great he's been. Because first off, he hasn't been great. The money that the organization has raised, you know, and the memberships they have are so far down. He hasn't done a great job. They, you know, they signed that Fox deal. He made a bunch of money off that. Davis did. And then now they got NBC had to come back in to bail that thing out. The coverage was so much better, by the way, this year. I mean, Tommy Roy's the best with NBC and the whole NBC crew is good. But they, so anyway, don't. John Rahm's the winner. Why don't I hear from John Rahm? Give him his trophy. Give him his trophy. Don't spend a minute. Don't spend a half a minute. Don't spend 20 seconds talking about Mike Davis. Well, I don't care about Mike Davis. Nobody cares about Mike Davis. Everything's, why is it all about Mike Davis? You know, did you see what he did? They have in the tournament when they're after the cut, if they've got an odd number, they have somebody go out and play. It's called a marker, and he goes out and plays just to, you know, I guess make sure the guy's not cheating or something. Okay, keeps a score. So they go out and play, and on Saturday Jason Gore was the marker. He was the marker on Sunday too, because they had like 71 guys make the cut or whatever, so they need a marker because they don't, you know, they put them off in twosomes. I mean, why you don't just have one threesome is beyond me. But anyway, I guess they don't want to slow a play. So they, you know, have a threesome out first. But anyway, okay, so they have twosomes. But there's only one guy, so they need another guy. So they put Jason Gore, who's the former PGA Tour player and, you know, winner on the PGA Tour. And he works for the USGA now. So he's going to go out and be the marker. He plays with the guy. And, you know, that's fine. You know, they do the same thing at Augusta with the Masters. Okay, but so what does he do? He has Mike Davis goes and caddies for him, for Jason Gore. What, for what reason? Why is he out there? Why is Mike Davis out there? Why is he caddying? I mean, the guy's a CEO. He's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Okay. He's out there caddying. Okay, then he then the next thing he does, okay, this is another great one. Then he goes and he announces, he announces the last group, like Bob Ford, okay, who's one of the all-time great club professionals. He's been the club professional forever at Oakmont Country Club and host of the U.S. Open and at you know, in Pennsylvania. He's been the head pro at Seminole down Florida, the iconic course. So Bob Ford's one of the greatest PGA professionals ever. I mean, head pro at Seminole, head pro at Oakmont. And he won the Bobby Jones Award for the USJ. So anyway, Bob Ford announces all the players on the first tee, the tee times. That's what he's done for the last few years. And he's really good at it, you know, and it's just a, you know, and he's a iconic figure in golf. Bob Ford is. And you know, it's nice. And so what does Mike Davis come and do? He comes to announce the last group that tees off. He announces the last group. Why? Well, what is this like? I'll let you cut the last green. It's your last year. I'll let you, you want to water a green? You know, you want to, what do you want to do? You want to set a tee marker? You want to cut a cup in the hole? I mean, what is it? What is this? Are we going to do everything? I thought you're the CEO anyways. Why are you out there caddying? Why are you out there announcing on the first tee? Why, what are you doing? What is that all about? That is just so weird. I thought so weird. Anyway, you know, it was a good US Open though. But, you know, there was one major, major screw up. I thought it was major. You know what it was? Those pins. They had those bouncy pins. You see that shot John Rahm hit on Sunday? I mean, not John Rahm, Brooks Koepka. Koepka hits this shot, and it's a perfect pitch shot. It's going in the hole, and it hits those rejector pins. I call them the rejector pins. These are these hard pins that when the ball hits it, it pops right out. It will never go in. If it's not going in on the last absolute roll, it'll hit the pin and bounce out. Now, these are the same guys that came up with the rule that's saying you can keep the pin in. Now, they come up with the rule to keep the pin in. Rather than deciding to say, hey, this wasn't a good idea, which I think it's a good idea to have the pin in. I like it. I mean, it speeds up play. It really does on an amateur level basis. And, you know, I'm used to it. I like the pin in. But they come up with the rule to leave the pin in, and then they change the pins. See, the USGA has always used the thinner fiberglass. They got a lot of give to them. Pins that make it easier for you if you hit it for the ball to go in, or for you to, if you hit a chip shot, if you hit a long putt, if you whatever, it'll hit the pin and it'll go in. Now they come back this year, they go out there with those pins that bounce the ball right off of it. It happened like four times on Saturday on the telecast, four shots that would have gone in but hit the pin and bounce out. Why do they have to do that? Why see that they can't help themselves?
You beautifully described what to me is one of the wonderful attributes of golf.
Hopefully when this guy is gone, none of this crap will happen when this Mike Davis is gone. That was the one thing. I don't know. You know, some people notice. My man, Caddy John noticed, because I saw him on Twitter talking about it all the time. Caddy John from Atlanta, he was talking about it all the time. I mean, they just can't help themselves. Even when they get it right, they just gotta screw something up. That's the USGA. But maybe when this guy's gone and he's done his whole farewell tour, he did his he caddied, he announced on the tee, I don't know, he probably watered a couple greens, cut a couple fairways, mowed a green, I don't know what he did. But when this Mike Davis is gone, and he's gone now, when he's gone, hopefully things are going to get better and continue to get, because these last two US Opens were pretty good. But I do not get the pins. I hope they go back to the old pins. It's just they can't help themselves. That's just the way they are. Anyway, hope you enjoyed the podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Hank Haney. Email your questions or comments to HankHaneyGolf@outlook.com. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app. Get your podcast every day and get your free stuff. PaintingUniversity.com for my instructional videos and VoodooPainRelief.com for my free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Hank Kenny Podcast. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.